Are you all switched on this morning? I want to sow a thought into your mind this morning, and I'll colour it, and we'll go on a journey with it. And this thought is this, that your life is always going in the direction of your dominant thoughts. That's the concept I want you to own this morning. Your life is always going in the direction of your dominant thoughts. That can be quite liberating. That can be quite daunting, depending what dominant thoughts are going through your mind. Come on. Is that true? 2 minutes to go last night, the dominant thought of my mind, don't stuff it up. Go to the end, boys. We've nearly got this thing. If there's any way we can make Phil cry in his soup, let's do it. But no, the dominant thoughts, our thoughts are always taking us in the direction of the dominant thought. So you think about someone who's going to commit murder. Premeditated murder. The dominant thought is, I'm going to kill that person. Think upon the guy who says, I'm going to propose to her tonight. And he sets the scene. Why? Because his most dominant thought is to make this girl he's been dating his new bride. Your success, your failure, your disappointment and your challenges will always be found on the path where your dominant thoughts are taking you. Your success, your failure. What's the thought in your mind right now? I wish it'd be over quick. We can be in the sun. Your success, your failure, disappointment, your challenges will always be found on the path where your dominant thoughts are taking you. The path of God's leading you. The path of God's leading you to destiny is done by thoughts. Destiny is powered by thoughts, by thinking. You know, the wilderness is powered by dominant thinking. The wilderness. Will I ever get out of here? Does anybody love me? Does anybody even notice me? That's dominant thinking. Dominant thinking also says, I'll find a way. God will meet me in the wilderness. God will meet me in my challenges. God will meet me in my sickness. God will meet me in my financial ruin. Dominant thinking will get you out of the wilderness, and dominant thinking will take you into the wilderness. Dominant, the mind striking thoughts in your head. Thinking is a product of the lens that we have. Yeah? You know, once upon a time, we received the daily news, thinking about this the other day, via newspapers. Once upon a time, the ancient art of reading was predominant in our nation, and people, the only news they had was the newspapers. And then we transitioned, and then it became newspapers, and we used to gather around a thing called the transistor radio. And we used to tune in to a BBC voice. Hello, this is BBC Today, giving you the news. And this wonderful accent would come on. And everyone would, certainly if you think about the war. The world, they used to say, everybody understood what was going on through the radio. Yeah? And then we transitioned a little bit further. And we went from the papers to the radio. Then we had TV. For those who, you know, early adopters who had TVs. You know, for some reason, there's always been that typical quintessential BBC radio voice. Hello, this is the news today. You know, that was the radio. And then BBC news presenters are always pristine. Always speak good English. And we went from, the TV. Then we had other news broadcasters. We had ITV, Channel 4, Sky News. And they all started to come on the scene. And then we had social media. Nobody listens to the radio for the news today unless you're in the car and it comes on. But you don't sit and listen to the news in the radio for the news. You get the news coming at you from so many angles today. Social media now is the major dominant force of all news. And the alarming thing about the news today is every news outlet has a political bias. And they all want to push. Now, the problem is behind all the news broadcasters today, I don't know if you know this, there are sponsors. And the sponsors sponsor the media companies. And if the sponsor doesn't like the angle that a news feed is taking, it can pull its sponsorship. So what do you think that will do to the news? That will manipulate the news and change the news to suit the ideas of the sponsor, or the values of the sponsors, which means yours and my news is no longer news. It's now opinions according to other people in the background that you don't know. So the dominant thoughts that's coming through the airways today is being manipulated through, or because, and due to sponsors in the background. Just tell me as it is, Jack. But we can't tell you like it is. We have to tell you like they want us to tell you. Which makes news very dangerous. And it makes the truth rare. So the dominant thoughts that's running through people's minds today is opinions, perceptions and projections of other people that they want to steer the masses in a certain direction. So every political election has a dominant thought. And they want you to go to the polling booths with that thought. Now we know social media manipulates because we keep seeing on the TV and complaints about the Chinese and the Russians being involved. But never mind the Chinese and the Russians, what about the Brits? We're our masters, we're the makers of our own downfall. We also manipulate news. There is no innocent party when it comes to news. There's not. Everyone's doing it to suit their agenda. Why? Because they want their news to be the dominant thought in people's minds, because it takes people in a certain direction. So let's give you an example. Most news today is based on a divide and conquer. We separate the people, we create a gap, so now we divide and we'll conquer them. And then we'll divide that group and we'll split everybody up and we'll just... Why? Because we've got the dominant thoughts that's going to create confusion, chaos, fear and mistrust. So then we can appear to be the answer. Can you see how it's done? The dominant thoughts. It's always leading us somewhere. It's always leading us somewhere. Dominant thoughts. Now you see, I don't know why we should just get, they should just put it all together and call it, not the news, they should just call it Daily Opinions. Sponsored by Confused.com. Welcome today to Daily Opinions, Perceptions and Projections, sponsored by Confused.com. The news. So the Bible tells us that when we hear things, wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Don't panic. Calm down. Jesus is still on the throne. Don't run, stand strong. And this is what the Bible tells us, rumors. Rumors start from gossip. Opinions start from, you know what? I heard Jimmy say this the other day, and then by the time it's gone, it's Chinese whispers. And it's all changed. And we all know that we can say, we can pass a story on. If we did it in here this morning, if I whispered in Phil's ear and he whispered, we all went around. By the time we get to John, the story's changed. That's just in this room. Because we all hear in part. We all hear what we want to hear, and we all shut out what we don't like. Hello?
Yeah.
If this morning, by chance, the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you in an area, and it's the dominant thought, you have the ability to close down and shut off. But you don't have the ability to close me down. But you can close me down from where you're sat. It's powerful. You see, Carl Jung said this: thinking is difficult. That's why most people judge. Thinking is difficult. To think to yourself, that might not be the truth what they're saying. That might not be fair what they're saying. That might not be real, means I might have to think for myself. Oh, goodness gracious. What are we going to do about that then? So what I'll do, I won't think for myself. I'll go with the party line. I'll follow the masses. I'll follow the thinking of the masses. And guess what? The masses, take the M away from masses, and what do you have? If you follow blindly, then at some point you will end up in a hole. If you follow blindly. So, this dominant thought. When I can get my pad on, come on. There you go. Go to Matthew 16:13, if you will, please. And Jesus knew the games that people were playing. And he knew the dominant thoughts, that when people have a dominant thought, how it will lead people into certain direction and certain lead people into certain beliefs. If I mentioned a subject, any subject, you will have an opinion. You will have a dominant thought that forms your belief, opinion, or perception of any subject if I pulled it out. We've all got them. But it's not until someone challenges your dominant thought that can you churn around and go another way. If it's always been your thought and no one knows it, you'll keep walking in the direction of that thought until it's aired, until it's challenged, until it's seated or readjusted in you. Just by somebody saying something, I go, I never thought of that. Now that turns me a degree and I start walking in a very different path.
Yeah.
Just because somebody said something. And Jesus says here in Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Knowing full well that the area he was in, there was all kinds of perceptions, opinions, and projections of what he was doing, what he was saying, who he said he was, who he proclaimed himself to be. And he says this, they replied. Some say John, some say. There's one group of people. Some say. Then the next, they'll say, others say. So we've got the some sayers, and we've got the others who say. There's a divide and conquer right there. Some will say, others will say. And still others, there's a third crowd. So one say he's John the Baptist, other will say Elijah's. Some say he's Jeremiah or one of the prophets. There's always going to be opinions inside every church. Now imagine if you're of the camp that says is of Elijah. You have a very, very different expectation of Jesus. Because John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, but John was not Elijah. But if you think John is Elijah, you're going to be disappointed when John doesn't act like Elijah and do the things that's prophesied about Elijah. John can only do what John was prophesied to do. Elijah can only do what Elijah was prophesied to do and will do in the end times. So you can see how the thoughts were moving people. The moment that people thought that John was the Elijah or Jesus was the Elijah, it had a camp with the Elijahites. Or we're the John, we're the Baptist. Have you noticed the Baptists today still call themselves Baptist? John started as a Baptist, but didn't finish as a Baptist. So how can you just be a Baptist? You've got to be more than just a Baptist. So then they say, well, but what about you? So now I'm going to come to you and find out what the dominant thought is inside of you. Because guys, I'm going one way. Me and my Father are going this way. And I need to know whether you've got the same dominant thought as me and my Father have. Because if you're part of the some say, others say, and still others say, you and I don't have the same dominant thinking. Right. And the trouble is with church is everyone's got opinions. Now that in itself is not a wrong thing. Because you've all been given a brain. You also have been given process. We formulate our conclusions through time and through process. Right? But then there comes a point in some areas of our life, we should all be have the same thinking. Yes. We must have the same thinking. We cannot be shifting on fundamentals. You know, the church still doesn't understand commitment. The church still doesn't understand sacrifice. And the church still doesn't understand love. So we all have different thinking, which is taking us in different directions. And then somebody comes in and has a pattern, and all of a sudden go, whoa, 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 what's he telling us? We've not heard this before. Because you've not heard it before doesn't mean it's not the truth. But now your dominant thinking becomes your point of resistance. Does that make sense? And then slowly but surely, the Holy Spirit has to take the bricks out of your wall and expose you to something new. And sometimes God takes us out of our location to do that, as he's done that with me many times. And other times he'll bring people across my path. But there comes a point when your dominant thinking, when it doesn't change, the Holy Spirit says, I can only go so far with you. Yeah. And none of us like to think we've reached that point. But there are some people who will never change. They are the same today, yesterday, and they will be forevermore. And they don't know it. And then there are those who do know it and don't care. So what about you, he asked. Peter, what is your dominant thought? And then Peter has to connect with the Holy Spirit. And then we read on later on, he says, you are the Christ. Ah, he says, Facebook has not revealed that to you. Sky News has not revealed that to you. BBC News has not revealed that to you. The man with the moustache and the suit has not revealed that to you. My Father in heaven has revealed a dominant thought. And that dominant thought became the revelation and the light. And Jesus looked, and straight away the enemy didn't like the clarity that Peter had. So instantly, Peter then moves back into his flesh. When Jesus says, I've got to go to the cross, no, you're not going to the cross. Peter now moves back into his own dominant thinking. Well, if you go to the cross, that means we'll lose you and I'll feel sad. Peter then took the word, his dominant thought, and became subjective. And then tried to shut down what Jesus had just said. So that's when Jesus has to reverse back and say, I can see it is who's tapping into you, Peter. You're being hacked. You're being hacked, Peter. Satan's trying to come in through the back door and he's trying to bring a new dominant thought that's going to take you into a whole new different direction. You will now become a stumbling block to me rather than a strength to me. And that's what happens to Christians when you have a dominant thought and you won't change. The enemy comes in and you become a stumbling block. And I wouldn't like to think, I should say, let me rephrase that. Have you ever thought that you might be the stumbling block to the progress, to God's progress in you? See, the dictionary explains thinking as the process of considering or reasoning about something. It's the process of considering or reasoning about something. The adjective is the action of using one's mind to produce thoughts. So to have a thought, you've got to use your mind. And to use your mind, you've got to use your brain. Your brain, your mind, and your thoughts are all, that's your Trinity inside there. And God put it on your shoulders. Yeah? We've all got a brain, yes? Everyone qualify for the brain? Of course you do. You've all got a mind and you've all got thoughts. You're thinking right now. You're thinking right now. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Let's keep in mind that your life is always going in the direction of your dominant thoughts. Are you there? Philippians. Your mind is always taking you in a place, in a direction of your most dominant thoughts. When I get home after, I'm going to kill him. That's a dominant thought. What's got an action attached to it. When I get home, I'm just going to have the biggest glass of water. That's a dominant thought that promises you a reward. Can you see this? The first thing I've got to do tomorrow when I get into work is I've got to do this. That's a dominant thought that has a responsibility attached. Next time I see that person, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. That's a dominant thought with truth attached. Or your opinion attached. So in Philippians 3, it says, I press on. I press towards the goal. To win the prize. For which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. I press on. Listen to his thought. Listen to his dominant thinking here. I press on. To win. I press on to win the prize. It's not that I just crack on, get on with it. I press on with a distinct dominant thought, which is to win the prize. Last night's game was all about one thing, just win. Just win. And we did it spectacular. For which God has called me. Now there's the reason why I have a dominant thought. Because God has called me and he's put this thought inside of me. Now I must keep this dominant thought as the dominant thought. Not as a background thought. I must keep on keeping on with the dominant thought. And the dominant thought is to win the prize. Are you seeing this? No matter what age you are, don't quit so close to the finishing line. How do you know you're finished? I'll look at your face. Because winners always smile. Thank God it's over. I finished. There might be tears, but the tears are joy. Now he says, I press on. And all of us, who's all of us? Everyone in this room, everyone who's hearing this scripture, all of us who are mature should take a view of the same dominant thought. All of us who are mature, so that means not all of us then. All of us who are mature, so he's banking on the readers reading this are mature. So all of us who are mature should take this same dominant thought and put it into action. And he says this, and if some point you think differently. Ah. So there's another group then, eh? Who's the other group? Those who don't have this as their dominant thought and practice. That too, God will make it clear to you. So in other words, there's a journey that you have to make to get in line with the dominant thought. All of you have to make a journey to come into a line with the dominant thought that Christ has for you. So some of us, not all of us, there's always the first company who grab it. They start walking with it, and some later see it, and they begin to adjust. And slow but surely, there's a company of people who cross over. And that's crossing over in a nutshell. You see in part, and you take a step, but then you might stop because you only see in part. And then you see a little bit further and you take another step. And it's all based on seeing. You see this? So, if you're a person pressing on to win the prize, then you have a distinct kind of thinking. You have a distinct type of thinking. Is that not true? Then he says, if you press on towards the goal of winning the prize, then all of us who are mature should take a view. In other words, this should become your dominant thought. Take a view. That's what he says in your scripture there. We should take a view of this thing. In other words, take a good look at it, analyze it to see if it's true. And if there's a witness, that should become the dominant thought that then takes you in that direction. It should be. Now, he uses that word mature. Now, some of you don't like that word because I think everyone in this room thinks they're mature. Now, in some areas of your life, you definitely are. And in some areas of our life, we're not. And if you can embrace that concept, that there's some areas that you're mature in and other areas you're not mature in, if you can just hold on to that and think, okay, Lord, show me the areas I'm not mature in so I can step in. Well, you won't step into it if you're not abiding in the vine. There's the first rule. Because he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So you must remain in me and I will remain in you. So the vine is so important. In other words, your relationship with Jesus must be fruitful and it must be ongoing. Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm boring you this morning, but I'm only telling you the truth. Now, let's go to this whole thought of maturity. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, because I know you're asking this scripture. It's in your mind. And he says this, Paul says this. When I was a child. Anybody ever been a child? When I was a child, I talked like a child. So, children speak children's language. Is that true? Last week, Phil's grandson, Caleb, comes to me and he says, I want you to come to, you're invited to my birthday party. So I said, oh, that's very nice, Caleb, thank you. When is it? He says, I haven't got a clue. So I said, well, how can I come to your party if I don't know? But in his mind, he's having a party. I think he might have been getting mixed up with Ruby's party. And he wanted, you know, he just thought, well, everyone's coming, so why not? You seem good. Come on, fella, you can come to Aunt Ruby's party. So when is it? I haven't got a clue. And I thought, that's sweet, is children being honest. And so when I was a child, I talked like a child. So a child talks like a child. And then he says, I thought like a child. So children are children. Children talk like children. And they think like children. Yes? Why? Because they're children. That's what they do. And they're beautiful and they're sweet. And that's why we need to guard them and protect them. And we need to let innocence just flow like a river. Because it's a sweet thing. Because they ain't going back to that. Once they get to the teenage years. Oi. Man alive. I took mine grandkids out yesterday, Adam, for 8 hours. And then the teenager starts. And you think, you wind your neck in. You think, okay, granddad, wind it in. She's teaching you how to be. I'm thinking, I'm fed up with this teenage like. I got rid of teenagers a long time ago. But then that voice inside said, but now you're going back to it and you should have a different attitude towards it. But I didn't. It still wound me up. So I thought to myself, okay. Love them the same. So they thought like a child. They talk like a child. They thought like a child. They reason like a child. And then he says, when I became a man. So let me ask you a question. When did you become a man? Or ladies, when did you become a woman? When did that? Do you know the process? Or are you just saying, well, I was a child once and I just grew? Well, that's fine. That's okay to some degree. But are you fully aware when you started to stop thinking and reason and have tantrums like a child and start thinking like a mature man. I can tell you spiritually that when I got married, I was a selfish ratbag. 22 years of age, and there was only one thought I had was me. I was the most selfish individual. 4 years of being married, just thought about me, myself, and I. Did I love my wife? Yes. But I love me more. And God had to strip me down and tell me. And the pastor had to get me. Literally got me by the scruff of the neck. She got me, stood right here. I'll never forget it. And I've told you this story before. She grabbed me. She says, "You are so self-righteous." Whoa. Can you imagine a pastor? Can you imagine me doing that words as you all go out the door, get you by the scruff of the neck and pick you up with one hand, if you had the strength, and say, "You are so self-righteous." And everything inside me was like Popeye. I was winding up for the big one. I thought there's going to be a holy plant in here in a minute. And you know what? And she was speaking the truth. I can't say it came to me in love, but it came to me as truth. And you know what? When she put me down and dusted me off, can you imagine? This is a pastor. And this was his wife. Not the man. She grabbed me. She was only small. And she grabbed me and pulled me to her. I'm thinking, oh, well, she's going to give me a Glaswegian kiss. Douche. But she didn't. Thank God. And she said, "You're so self-righteous. You're so full of yourself." And you know what? She was absolutely right. And I thank God. And you know, when we had our Jubilee as a building and we brought them back, I thanked her publicly for that. I don't think she ever remembered it, but I do, because it was defining. Yeah. I was aware that at that point, I was still, though as a man, I was thinking and reasoning like a child. I was an immature grown man. Now, I know I'm not talking to this crowd, that type of crowd. I know you're all super spiritual. And I know you're all uber mature. So therefore, if that's the case, we're all of us. But if you think differently, why don't you join me over here? Because I'm not mature in every area. I'm not using myself as the benchmark. I've already exposed where I was. And it only takes somebody else to walk up to you in your life and point something out. And you realize, oh, there's more to go. There's more of the journey to go. The problem is you won't let people do that. Some of you out the door that fast to stop that from happening. When I was a child, past reference. Past. When I was. When I used to be. Yes, there's my natural childhood, but then there's my spiritual child that tries to follow me around. And sometimes I've got to cut him off and say, "You can't come with me on this journey." Why? Because you're a hindrance. You have got dominant thoughts inside you that will derail me. And we've all got them, but we've got to turn around to our inner self and say, "Stop it. Stop following me. I no longer give you permission to follow me anymore." Because what you and I do not share the same destiny. I challenge you to turn round to yourself and do it. So the pain, you know, they won't love you if you go in the future. They won't. And the pain and the bad experiences will constantly speak to you all the time. So don't take another step. Don't trust them. They haven't got your best at heart. And that voice, you've got to turn around and say, "Shut up." That's what Satan tried to do with Peter. To stop Jesus going forward. Peter had the dominant thought that was in line with Jesus and the Father. And then Satan tried to bring in his dominant thought. A child is always at the center of the child's world. Have you noticed? A child only ever has a child in its own thinking. And the child says, "Please me, entertain me, make me laugh. It's all about me. You love me so much. It's all about me." And then another child comes along. And all of a sudden, the other child says, "Hang on, I'm not getting the same love and attention." And then the child starts throwing an issy fit. Yeah? And then thinks I'm being ostracized. Mummy and daddy don't love me anymore. And they have that, what they call FOMO, fear of missing out. And the child finds its way to get its dominant thought into your head. So the kid will find ways to let you know he's still here. So many Christians are the same. So many Christians. Well, I'm saying a lot of truth this morning. So when I became a man, do you know the process that brought you to a man, ladies, women? Who are the people that help you become a man? I can define three people who's helped me. And because, guess what? It would be wonderful just to say my parents. But I'm not naive to think I'm only raised by two people. We're not raised by two people. We are raised by environments. Come on. Now, parents have a dominant role. Goes without saying. Don't have to defend that. Don't shout me down. Champion parenthood all day long. Parents are number one. But guess what? There's other people who speak into your life. Subconsciously. And consciously. And then Paul says, I put childish ways behind me. Okay. Let's look at your behavior from the start of the week to the end of the week and see how many childish ways you have. If you just did a self-analysis in a 1 week, what are your childish ways? I'm not talking about being childish around your children. That's called blending in. That's called doing the parent thing. When I've got my grandkids, I do the parent thing. Right? I play, I run, I laugh, I do all the things that kids do, parents do with kids, right? So the point is, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about from Monday to Saturday, what are the dominant things, or what are the things that you do? So, let me just tell you about the law of the lens. Now, let me use John and Phil as an illustration. John, stand up, Phil. Now, you've all been to the opticians. And if you've been to the opticians, you've seen these things. So, John, stand to Phil. Come on, bring the love in. Keep winding in. Right. Now, the optician. I'm in the opticians. Right? And we all know how it goes. You sit in that chair. She puts those things on you. And she says, better with, better without. Now, the lens, the law of the lens is perspective. We all have a perspective of ourselves and people. And from perspectives, we have expectations. Are we here? Yeah. Now, the thing is about the lens. Your destiny is absolutely connected to the lens. If you don't have good perspective, your destiny will, you'll always struggle because you don't know how God works. I've learned this, been in the ministry now long enough to know, been a Christian long enough to know that it's just, watch this, as holy and as righteous as this is, it's not only this. What I'm saying is, me, it's not just me, Jesus, and my Bible. Now, I know that's a big shock for some of you. It's not my walk with Christ and my destiny isn't about just Him and me. So, what happens if I can't hear? What happens if I can't understand? Right, so it can't just be about me and Jesus. Now we know it, that's the central part of my walk, me and Jesus. But it can't just be about me every day getting in front of my Bible and just me praying and walking with Jesus. We know that's fundamental, but that's not all it is. So we need the lens. The lens says, I don't trust him. My perspective says, I don't like the way he looks. I don't like the way he looks. Or I like the way he looks. But I don't like the way he looks. So I judge him from afar, from my perspective. Yeah? Can you see this? My perspective now will blur who I advance towards and who I pull back from. Yeah? Now, Now, here's the most crucial part of your perspective that you've never, ever taken into consideration. Your perspective is all about your personal experiences and your hurts and your successes. Because that's now going to be the filter how I'm going to look at these two. Because if I've had bad dealings with Eric's example, or Eric's had bad dealings with me, guess what? I view everybody else as being an Eric. Or Eric views everybody else as being me. Why? Because now my past experiences now view those two as being they're going to do the same to me. So let's just say, hypothetically, John was my first wife. Right? And John was a bad first wife. Right? Or let's not put it as a wife, is my girlfriend. It's even worse, isn't it? It's getting worse, this illustration. It gets better, honest. Let's just say, maybe I should have Lisa up there. Maybe John was my girlfriend, previous girlfriend, right? But John did the dirty on me. Naughty. John did the dirty on me. So guess what's going to happen on my next girlfriend? John's going to do the same to me as what Lucy did, whoever Lucy is, right? So, but then I've got to get to know John, but maybe I don't want to because I'm hurting and I'm vulnerable. And guess what? Nobody likes to be vulnerable, and nobody will allow anybody to put them in a situation where they feel vulnerable. Why? Because they don't want to fess up what it is. That's really bothering them. So let's go back to the law of the lens. So this is what God does. God knows I'm vulnerable. God knows I've got problems. God knows I've got a past. God knows I'm still immature. God knows I'm still hurting. And God knows I'm still immature in certain areas of my life. True? But I still have to find another Lucy. So I have to walk. And God says, no, if you want to walk in destiny, there's a partner for you in destiny. So not all women are the same. I don't even notice that. Not all women are the same. Not all men are the same. Just because your first encounter, he was a rat bag or she was a rat bag, not all women are the same. Not all men are the same. So the problem is, will I take the risk? So now I start to move towards, but I don't want to move towards, but this is destiny because Lucy, this new Lucy, is on my path to destiny. But the dominant thought says she'll do the same. She'll do the same to me. How can I? Or let's change the scenario. Let's say he was a previous leader. And now he's a new leader that God's putting in my path. And straight away I'm going to say, my last church, all they ever did was this, 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 and this. All leadership are the same. And God says, no, not all leaders are the same. Your last church did this, he did that, he did this. But this on this new path, this is not the same path. That's why it's called a new path. Because if it's the same path, it's not called a new path. It's called a repeated history. So now I have to walk close enough. And here's what God's going to say to all of us at some point. Are you ready for this? He's going to go better with, better without. Sorry, can you put it in again? Better with, put the lens in. Better without, you're looking at. Can you read the bottom line? Can you read the bottom line? Well, I can only read the top line. Well, you're not going far in destiny then, are you?
No.
Right, can you read the second line? And what you do is, when they're not looking, you have a good look. And think, I'll remember them also. I'll tell her now what it is. Kind of defeats the object, you not think? But I found myself doing it when I went for my eye test. Is it an A? Is it a D? A-E-I-D-I-I. She's looking at me going, stop it. Just tell me what you can see. I didn't ask you what you know. I asked you what you can see. Can you see the bottom line? I can see the bottom line. Aye. Can you make it out? I ain't got a Scooby-Doo. It's okay, because as long as I can see it, I know it's there. And as I make adjustments to my sight, I start seeing letters. I don't see all the line, because that's called 20/20. But if I take my glasses off, I can just about see the door. But better with, better without. So then God says, okay, that's only one. Now we've got the left eye sorted out. Let's bring some balance to your life. Better with, better without. Better with, it's all right, fella, got all you. Better without, with or without you. And then I say, with, now we've got some focus. Now we've got some perspective. Why? Because of the things that I allowed God to add into my life. And what God adds into our life is people.
Yeah. Amen.
It's always people. Right? So now I look at my friends here, and if I looked at in my right eye, I can see I have a strong brother. If I look to my left side, I see I have a strong brother. So I have Lucy, yeah, at the side of me. I have brothers at the side of me. So in this particular illustration, I've got some balance. I've got perspective. I've got the voice of others in my life, not just me. So am I better with? Now, there's been times in my life when I'll say, that's better without. And I'll try and function on one, with one side. Right? That's called part. We all do this. And when God gets us in the right place, he brings others in, and now he begins to widen our vision. Do you not see this? This is how the dominant thought stays the right dominant thought. We need things added to us so that the dominant thought stays clean, clear, and pure. Thanks, guys. Thank you for Lucy. Can you see that? Are you sure? See, my first lens and your first lens was installed through our parents. Our parents brought our identity. They installed and they formed, they began to form our lens, our perspective, and they began to show us what we have potential. And, potential can be a wonderful thing, but potential needs others. Hello? Potential. You know, we often say, is a self-made man who made himself. Nobody wants to be a self-made man. People are made by others. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Right? People make us. Now, our parents should be the first lens. Now, not everybody has great parents. And sometimes, our parents are great in one area, but they were poor in another area. So that's fine. God still chose that set of parents to bring you into the world. God knows that there will be other additions en route. So your parents, and you think, oh, I've got wonderful parents. Thank God you've got wonderful parents. Somebody else is not so clever. So they think, you know, he became more of a father to me than my own father was. That's another lens that God added to your life. Yeah? You've just got to be recognize the people that God's bringing. So the first lens is our parents. The second lens is our school teachers. School teachers are good. They gave us, school teachers help you see your potential as well. And other times, you know, in all these I'm describing, there's negative and positive. I wish my school days would have been better than they were. I didn't enjoy school. But good things do come out of school. It's called 4 o'clock, home time. School shapes and develops you and it educates you and it should give you maturity as part of being around other kids the same age is good for us. And then the third lens is our friends. Friends install perspective. Now, again, good friends are good friends, bad friends are bad friends, but God brings friends along our path. It's so important that you have friends. It's so important you have friends. Some friends are for a season, some friends are for life. And value them both. Value them both. Do you know, last week we had a guy coming to give us a quote for some work that needs to be done on the roof. And lo and behold, I worked with this guy many years ago. But he worked, and when I worked, he must have just come in as I was going out. I remember the name, but I don't remember him. But as he was talking, as we were talking and engaging in a long conversation, he was mentioning names that I'd forgot. And it was like going back to, you know, through the archive, and he was mentioning this name and that name and blah, blah, blah. And straight away, memories were coming into my mind. And it was almost like, I almost paid him for giving me a happy half hour, you know. But it was good because these people I used to work with, I worked in that company for 17 years. We became friends and colleagues. They did a lot for my life. They built me maturity. I had to witness to those people. And they saw the prophetic word of my life come true in their sight. I told them that God had called me, and one day I will walk out of here to go into the ministry. They never believed it until that day came. You have to be a testimony to your own people. Friends, the place of work. Then the fifth one is the church we attend. This is where God, this morning, hopefully God's given you a lens. Leaders. Number six, the sixth lens that God gives you is leadership. Leaders lead people. Followers follow, leaders lead. God, you need to know a leader. It's not the church I can go to, it's the leader that's going to lead me. You've got to have maturity to understand that. When I first came in here, it was the one thing I didn't like. And I rebelled against it. I did not want, because I come from a traditional background. And when I came here, and this leader, who was the pastor at the time, was all charismatic, I'm thinking, you are a nutter. And God had to say to me, this will be the man that will mentor you and lead me. And you know what? I had to be made on the floor. God made me on the factory floor. Something I didn't like, I had to walk towards. Something that I found that was offending me, I had to go and apologize to him. It was the making of me, but he had to keep leading. And I thank God to this day that my pastor, Colin Carson, led me and mentored me. Thank God that God made me on the shop floor. I know what it is to lead because I know what it is to follow. That's my only credential. That's my only credential for leadership, is that I know how to follow and serve. That's my credential for leadership. I have been raised, I have been mentored, I have been spiritually fathered. I passed the test. That's how God makes us. It's not where I can play. It's not where I can fit in a church. It's not where the role they give me to play. It's, can you follow and let God make you in the following? Can you serve in the following? And does it always have to be at your discretion? Does it always have to be you have to always be in charge? Well, the 9 times out of 10, that's why many of us don't qualify, because we always have to be the voice. God says, can I count on you to be there when I need you? God, not man. God. So, number seventh lens is the voice of God. How can you not be led by the voice of God? The voice of God must be able to lead you. But listen, the voice of God will never lead you on your own without the voice of men confirming it. So many people want to do things on their own and have no one else confirm it. Well, I've heard God. How do you argue with that? I can't defend. I can't say you haven't heard God, but I can certainly think it. When I came into the ministry, actually, when I was being made on the floor, time and time again, what I was thinking, I kept speaking to my pastor. I kept speaking to Phil. I kept speaking to my pastor. And I kept getting the voice of acknowledgement. The voice of adjustment. The voice of purity. You need the voice. And lastly, one of the most important lenses you're ever going to need, and this is where 98% of people fail. Are you ready for this one? The lens of yourself. How you see yourself. This is the destabilizer. This is the one that will kill you. All the others don't mean anything if you can't see yourself. And this is where most Christians fail, because they have such poor self-image of themselves because of the illustration we used before of the lens. It's time for some of you to sit down and let God adjust your lenses again. Now, when I went back to the opticians only a couple of weeks ago, I'm proud to say that I had a clear bill of health. My eyes have not deteriorated. They've stayed the same, which is good. 62 years of age, it's good that your eyes, I can see. I went in there seeing and I came out seeing. But I came out there feeling better than I went in. Why? Because, hey, you're not deteriorating, old man. The lens that you see and you think about yourself is the most important. Because I can tell you, others can tell you, but if you can't see it, you will always go to the law. You'll reduce it to what you think. Back to the dominant thought. Back to the dominant thought. And there, this is where we end this morning, is with that dominant thought. How do you see yourself? And the Bible tells us, let me just find a scripture for us, because I'm shooting ahead now. Oh, yeah. James 1, 23. James 1, 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. The mirror is so key, because the mirror is a reflection of how we see ourselves. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. See, God's word can't speak to them, because by the time they get to the door, their self-awareness is such at a low point that no truth, no light can ever get beyond your self-awareness of you. Doesn't matter what you keep saying, Pastor. It's what I believe that counts. Doesn't matter what you prophesy over me, Pastor. It can never get through this penetration, because every time I look in the mirror, I see I'm not worth it. I see my pain of the past. I see my abuse. I see my abusers. I see my tormentors. I see my monsters. I see. And you'll always see when you look in the mirror yourself and your past, which is the dominant thought taking you in a direction. Where the other person comes to the Lord and says, Lord, show me, deliver me, help me, Lord, change me. So then truth, he then speaks. And then when you get that truth, you have to go to the mirror and see what he says is truth. And that image will begin to fade, but it only fades when you bring yourself to where the truth is. Because your dominant thought will take you, either it will bypass the mirror, or when you look in the mirror and you walk away from the mirror, you'll walk away with a dominant thought. It was nice what he said yesterday, but it doesn't feel like it's the same today. But hang on, he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So then he says this, and we're closing. After looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he, she, they will be blessed in what they do. So let's stand to our feet, if we will, please. Dominant thoughts. Dominant thoughts. I wonder this morning what your dominant thoughts are. I wonder when you came in this morning, what was the dominant thought? I wonder when you go out of this door, what will be the dominant thought? The truth is, only you can answer that. God knows, but God's asking you to lift it up to Him. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, to raise your hands. I want to say raise, sorry. I mean put them out like this. Open hands mean you're about to receive or give. Let something go. Okay? Open hands means something's either going to come in to my life or something's leaving my life. Does that make sense? And I want you now, be honest with you all, self-awareness. You know your own mirror. You know the dominant thoughts. And I want you to bring it before the Lord right now, if you will, in prayer. I want you to speak it out. You know what your dominant thoughts is. Whether it's fear, whether it's anticipation, whether it's stress, whether it's mistrust, whether it's abuse, whether it's excitement, whether it's adventure, whatever it is, whatever the dominant thought that's in your mind, dominating you, I want you to begin to speak to the Lord about it right now. So if we all can be doing this, no one's listening to the next person. Ralph, if you will, come and play the piano for me, if you will. Just someone play the piano for me. Play anything you want, Ralph. I want you now just to open your mouth and begin to speak to the Lord and be honest with Him and say, Lord, this is my dominant thought. I want you to know what's filling my heart and my mind. I want you to speak it out and be truthful. Let your own ears hear what you're saying. Oh, Father. Did you play anything, Ralph? Just give me a song. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Father, we give you the secrets of our heart. We give you, Lord, the attic of our mind, where all our thoughts are, with all our fears, our worries, our concerns, our stress gathers. And Lord, clear it out. We ask you, oh God, clear out the attic. Expose it. Let the light of Christ come in. Come on, let the light of Christ in. Invite the light in now. Invite the light. Lord, shine, shine, shine on it, oh God. I want you to see as the light is shining in what it looks like when the Father comes in and takes it. See Him this morning coming in and taking the light. Taking the way, the past. How you feel about what you feel, how you think about what you think. See His arms around it and begin to thank Him. Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me, oh God. Cleanse my past. Oh, Father, cleanse my past. Lord, you're in the past, but I'm not of the past. I'm of the future. My destiny speaks about my future, not my past. My God, cleanse me right now at that point. I see someone right now is opening that door. And the Lord says, this is a door that when it's closed, no man will be able to open it again. This is the door that I'm opening today for you. Walk through it. Step through it right now. Be bold enough to trust me for the next step. That when this door closes, no fear, no stress. Come on, Ralph, keep playing, keep playing. No stress, no fear, no anxiety. The past cannot transition with you as long as the door is closed. Let me close the door. Oh, Father, right now, right now. There's so much on the other side of that door. If you just close the door and let the Lord in this area. Oh, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to forgive those who have trespassed against us. And now, Lord, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the hand of the evil one. Deliver us, oh God, from our own doubts, our own fears. Deliver us from temptation. For thine is the power, the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Hallelujah, Lord. Be free this morning. Be free. Be free in the love of God. Be free. Oh, my God. Begin to thank Him now. Come on, just begin to thank Him. This is not about what you feel. This is about what you're doing. It's about what you're knowing is the right thing to do. You think, well, I don't shake. I don't trust your feelings. It's not about feelings. It's about you acknowledging the dominant thought. Oh, Father. Father. Mighty God, mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God. Shela barababa pakuri amala brosiri. Shara mama makaria darabasi diriende. Shara mama mara sitiri bakaria. God with us, Emmanuel. Yes, Lord. God with us, reveal to us. His name is me.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel is with us. Tell yourself, he's with me. He's in me. He's with me. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, as the old song used to go. I can face tomorrow. I can face today. I'm not what I came in as. I'm walking out a different person. Because Emmanuel is with me. And the people of God said amen. Let's give the Lord a standing ovation. You know, my aim is every time you walk in, I want you to walk out better than you came in. I want to add value to your life. You hear me? I want to add value to your life in every area that you will allow the Holy Spirit to add value. What you see here today is not me. It's God in me speaking to us. The same Christ in me is the same Christ in you. Tayonga, I want you to see God's got such a great future for you. Come, come here. I know you've struggled and I know you've doubted and you've wondered. And the Lord says, I've always been with you, son. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. When you can't find me, I'm still there. When you can't find me, I'm still there. I haven't gone missing. And the Lord says, sit down. Just take a breath. Reconnect with me, because I've not gone anywhere. I'm still with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The word of the Lord to you today is the Lord is with you. He's not left. He's there. Find strength, young man, in God alone. Find strength. Lift up your eyes to the Lord, because he's right in front of you. This is your confidence that God wants you to have, that your God has not left you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord. Precious, I have a word for you. If you come, if you just come. And you, is this your wife, your girlfriend? Prosperous. What a great name that is. Father, I see you walking down a road. You've looked at each other and said, is this the road? Is this the way? Is this the path? You've had private conversations. And you've said, oh Lord, we just don't know. We've doubted. Confused. Is there any better than this? Does it get any better than this? And the Lord says it does get better. It will get better. And it can get better. And the Lord says, you're not together by chance. It's divine. And let nothing come between you. Let no thought come between you. Let no outside influence come between you. Because what's inside of you, you've got a piece of what the other person needs. And I see flags waving. And it speaks to me of joy. It speaks of procession, that you're about to enter into something new. Look for the flags in life, not the red flags, but the flags that celebrate my leading. That confirm this is the way, walk in it. Look for the flags. And where you see a red flag, run like crazy. But when you get the confirmation, keep talking to one another, keep walking together, keep working together, and you will find God will confirm the things inside your heart as you yield them to one another and before the Lord. Today you're not here by chance. The Lord had you here to hear what has been said. And he wants you to know that the future is better. The future is bright. Whatever you face, you're going to face it together. And you're going to face it with the Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, bless them. Bless them. And let today be a defining point in your life and your marriage. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just stand in his presence for a second. Sang that song for long.